WMFSradio.com app. Your home of the Golic and Wingo Morning Show. Weekdays from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett.
WMFS Memphis.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I ain't getting no interviews. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shots and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. They wanna rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to witness is no illusion.
That means that John Martin is going to be joining us in the very next segment. So that's fun. And it means that because it is a day of the week, it means that Chris Harrington will be joining us.
Mm-hmm. And we're having a show.
At 10 o'clock. And we are having a show. There's a game tonight against the Clippers in 10. And one of the things I will ask.
And the Clippers can play.
That was apropos. Because the question that I was asked by a writer from the LA Times who called me last week is doing a story on this, and I actually haven't seen it if it's up, is about the Clippers-Grizzlies rivalry. Is there a Clippers-Grizzlies rivalry?
It's tough now because so much of the rivalry was based in large part against Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, who are both gone.
I
still think there is in general. I think, as Eric has said, anytime you play a team that's wearing the red, white, and blue and has Clippers across their chest, it's an impactful game. And Doc's still there.
I don't think it's a rivalry. I don't.
You and I have talked about this.
I mean, listen, this tonight's game matters because the Clippers are in the West.
True.
And after that, you got the Pelicans. And after that, you got the Lakers. Like, this is
a big week for the Clippers.
A big week for playing teams that are in the West against whom you are competing for a playoff spot. So so I think that's absolutely true. But who can you work up a hate for? I never hated Doc, really. Did you hate Doc?
No, I do think when Doc got to the Clippers rubbed off on him. Like, I think Doc got whinier, and he got way more Clippery when he got to the Clippers.
I don't hate Tobias Harris.
No,
I don't hate Danilo Gallinari.
You know, I've discussed this. In professional sports, it is very difficult to have a true rivalry because the geographical limitations.
Oh, in college sports, it's much easier.
Yes.
And by the way, we're going to get to the Memphis Tigers in just a minute. But in college sports, it's much easier for two reasons. One is geography defines it. So you are always in Alabama and Auburn are always right there in the state of Alabama, right? And so Florida and Tennessee, Georgia and Florida are always right there staring at each other across the border. So you've got the geographic part of it. And then in college sports, unlike pro sports, there's an ability to be good every year.
Yes.
And now Tennessee defies that at times, but basically there is an ability to be good every year. The reason that, for example, I really think one of the great rivalries we had at one point was Cowboys Redskins.
Sure.
And the reasons that it became a no longer a rivalry was it didn't matter anymore.
They right. Neither both teams fell off.
Both teams were either mediocre or the Redskins stunk or the like. They it's just now it's a, to me it's a rivalry in name only. And
it's kind of like the NFC East.
And so in college it's much easier to maintain a rivalry.
Sure.
Because yes, vastly better. It is one in fact things that the college has over the over pro sports rivalries, right? Egg Bowl doesn't matter. Like they can both stink. It doesn't matter. They're sitting there at the looking at each other across the state, yes. And so
the easiest way to salvage one season is to beat the other.
So I don't think it is a. I may, by the way, have two. I have to determine something, but I may have two tickets to the tonight's Grizz Clippers game to give away. I have to lay my hands on them, but. But I think I have two tickets to the Grizzlies Clippers game to give away. I will keep you up to date on that. Anyway, we'll talk to Chris about that. Joakim Noah joined the fray yesterday, and Chris has a piece up about Noah, about the Clippers, and about what ails the Grizzlies in this stretch. And it's not just what you think. What you think is Mark and Mike wearing down, right? Isn't that what you think?
That's what one would think.
One would think. There's another big reason that the Grizzlies have a little bit less effective to get for that with Chris Harrington later on in the show. But we want to lead with last night's proceedings at FedEx Forum, where the university...
Should I crank it up?
You want the fight song?
It's a pretty big win.
Okay. The University of Memphis defeated the South Dakota State Jackrabbits 88-80. Now, let's keep this in context.
Context matters.
It is a big win against the team that lost to Tulane. And Florida Gulf Coast.
Okay.
So it is in 3 years, or in 2 years, hopefully we will not be calling a win over the South Dakota State Jackrabbits, no matter how many times they've been to the NCAA tournament, a big win, right?
That seems fair.
They lost to Tulane.
You'd even like to think that next year wouldn't even
be. And they lost to Florida Gulf Coast. So, but they do have some skilled players. This kid named David Jenkins went nuts. In fact, David Gary told us about him yesterday.
Indeed, he did.
Told us that when David Jenkins showed up, very quickly, the coach said he is going to be Conference Player of the Year at some point. And he was certainly looked like it, every bit of it.
So 35 points on 8 of 11 from behind the arc.
Last night, as he was 35 points on 8 of 11 from behind the arc. He was awesome. Solidly built dude, too. Like, he was something else.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Dom, their big man, got into foul trouble, and that was intentional. The Tigers were great at drawing offensive fouls, and so they got him out of the game, so he was not able to do as much damage. But anyway, so my takeaway from the entire proceedings was that, no, the Tigers aren't perfect. That's pretty clear. Right, they're not perfect. It is they have yet to have a game this year where they have more assists than turnovers.
Yes,
that suggests a lack of perfection. If perfection is what we're, is the standard, right?
Indeed, it's a lack of efficiency on offense.
Last night was actually a draw. They had 17 of each, so mm-hmm. they're getting closer in that regard.
Improvement.
But my fundamental takeaway from the whole thing was this was a game we easily thought they could have lost. They were favored by two, and as Gary said, in a neutral court, it would have either been a coin flip or they would have been underdogs.
Indeed.
So, and they won the thing. And the truth of the matter is, they controlled it pretty much the whole way. They didn't put them completely out of the game. So there was a little suspense all the way to the end, just because. Jenkins kept dropping in these damn threes, and so they'd hang around by down by eight, down by seven, down by nine, down by seven, whatever, like that. But the Tigers controlled the game from the tip, And that was, given that this is a game where, like, oh, they could lose this one, Gary's question to me yesterday on his show was, will the tenor about Penny Hardaway start to change if they lose this one? If you look up and you're 3-5 with a loss at home to the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. To me, my answer to that was no, it will not. I didn't even think a loss last night was going to make people less enthusiastic about Penny Hardaway and about what's happening here. But that was the question, and built into that question is the assumption that they could very well lose. And they didn't lose, and they won solidly.
They controlled virtually most of the game.
Yeah. The other thing, and this is to me the most important thing, is they just looked better. And in the end, and I wrote about this over at the Daily Memphian, in the end, what you wanted from this year, I never defined this year in terms of postseason, whatever your postseason goals are. I said from the start, the only way they're making the NCAA tournament is to win the conference tournament. That was my very clear statement from the start. I haven't ruled out that they can do that. I still haven't ruled out they can do that. But that's the way they're making. If they make the NCAA tournament, the only way they're making the NCAA tournament is to win the conference tournament. And I knew that from day one. NIT, whatever. Like, yes, it would be nice if they go to the NIT. If they don't go to the NCAAs. But there were two things that mattered this year. Three things. One of which was instant, and you knew it was going to happen, is that to restore enthusiasm to the program, right? To bring the fans back, to bring enthusiasm back, to bring momentum back, to bring all the things that we've
to repair your brand.
To repair the brand, right. And that was instant, and that happened. And there was the fact that Penny has been so good publicly has helped that, that he's embraced that role, that he understands that. But the moment they hired Penny, you knew the people would come rushing back. And so they did. Second important thing that had to be done, and maybe the most important thing, is they had to recruit studs for next year. They had to sign James Wiseman. They had to sign DJ Jeffries. They had to sign Malcolm Dandridge. And it would be nice if they signed some other awesome players. And that is mission accomplished. The other awesome player is not mission accomplished, but I actually think there'll be, you know, I think there, it's likely there's going to be at least one more star who signs in the later signing period. So that's been done. And that was the second thing that had to be done. The third thing is you just wanted to see this group get better. And you wanted to see it get better for two reasons. One, you either wanted to answer the skeptics or the skeptic inside yourself. Any unease that you had that Penny, quote unquote, could coach. And to me, that's less about breaking down the particular X's and O's than it is about creating a team that plays together, that plays hard, that has a sense of purpose, that looks organized, that gets decent shots, that you wanted to see. Again, maybe it's to answer the skeptics, or maybe it's to answer any uneasiness in your own internally, whether Penny can forge improvement, right? And what we're seeing now, I believe, is if you compare what we saw against Oklahoma State and what we saw last night, you are seeing a team that is getting better. The other reason you wanted to see it is obviously when the James Wiseman's and DJ Jeffries and all arrive, you want there to be something established here. You want them to have, if they're not a dominant team, and they won't be because of the roster flaws, you want them to be a cohesive, competitive, efficient team that they're joining. And so I wanted to see improvement. It's kind of a weird year. Because for the Grizzlies, I wanted to see a competitive team that's good enough to convey the pick to the Celtics. That was my goal.
You wanted to be interested when the clock turned February, or the calendar turned February.
But I also, the main thing was I wanted to be interested on every given night. I didn't want any just horrible, like, miserable games where nobody cares. And so I wanted to be in the mix, and then you wanted to be done with that draft pick.
Yes.
And with the Tigers, I wanted them to sign the recruits, and then I wanted them to just get better. And what I saw last night was a team that looked like it was getting better. And to me, Penny keeps saying it. He keeps saying, we're going to play fast. We're going to guard. The early season schedule is going to help us. But you wanted to see how that translate. And I think last night you saw that it did translate. And you can go player by player and talk about who looked better. You start with I'm going to end here with my favorite player, but you start with Jeremiah Martin. Jeremiah Martin had four straight games where he did not break 11, where he had 11 or fewer points. And honestly, he was 2 of 12 against Texas Tech. He looked like a guy who wasn't comfortable. He knew he was supposed to be the alpha dog, but he didn't know exactly how to be the alpha dog. So you're supposed to be the leader, but what does that mean? Does that mean you take bad shots? Does that mean, like, how do you be a leader within the flow of an offense, et cetera? And last night, he was still 0 of 3 from 3 deep, but he scored 22 points, 8 of 15 from the field, and fundamentally he went to the rim. And he did it with authority, and he did it at critical moments. And so he looked, I thought, very good. Alex Lomax, who has been pretty horrific, honestly, despite what the coach did, not look horrific last night. There were still moments, like when he shoots a jumper, you're like, why? Ugh. Like why? Why? Don't do that. But he got into the lane. He scored a career-high 12 points. And I don't mind him getting into the lane and or hitting floaters or at all. He was in control, I thought.
He only had one turnover.
He was creating havoc defensively. Last night he was what Penny said a week ago on the Penny's coach's show. He talked about all the little things, and I was like, I don't know, I'm not really seeing those little things. And last night he was that Alex Lomax. No, he can't shoot a jumper, but I thought it was, and I've always said this, I think he's going to be very good. He's just figuring it out. Honestly, Penny said about Jeremiah and about Alex Lomax that they basically said they had been bad. He said they didn't want to be that bad. And for Alex in particular, he needed to prove that he needed to be in the starting lineup and he could play at this level. And last night, I thought, was the first time really since the first game when he looked like that Alex Lomax. And so you see progress from Alex Lomax. Isaiah Maurice, much better. He's not starting anymore, but and he only played 20 minutes. But they've needed a rim protector. They've needed help inside. And he gets four blocks. He's 5 of 7 from the field, 10 points. That ties a career high for him. 8 rebounds. He just filled it up. 10 points, 8 rebounds, 4 blocks, 3 steals, and led the team in plus-minus at plus 11. It was, I thought, a very efficient, emphatic game from Isaiah Maurice. If you look at the team defense, South Dakota State had never, their season high in turnovers coming into this game was 16. They had 16 at the half, and that's because what Memphis was doing was disrupting them. Ended up with 23 turnovers, 23 Memphis points. They went to a 2-3 zone at the end of the first half. Penny had said he'd tried to zone against LSU, and I'm guessing it was Oklahoma State, quickly abandoned it because they weren't closing out at all, and they were giving up too many three-pointers. This time, the zone defense only yielded one three-pointer, 44 points in the paint. Well, that, you know what that's about? That's about a renewed effort to get to the rim, 44 points in the paint. When they needed buckets at the end of the game, they were running plays and getting easy buckets at the end of the game. So, no. Perfect? No. A power? No. Excellent? I wouldn't even go that far. But better. And I think better is what you want this year. And then the other thing is there's Alex Lomax. That guy is a blast. An absolute blast. John Martin, and we'll ask him this question when he comes in. He was, again, he scored 22 points. He
you is mean now, Tyler Harris, correct?
Tyler Harris, yes. Okay. Tyler Harris scored 22 points. It is his fourth out of the eight games, his fourth game of 20 or more points in a season so far. He has led or been co-leader for the Tigers in scoring in six of their eight games. And last night he was 4 of 9 from deep. And when he's deep, it's not deep, deep. I mean, it's deep, 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 deep. And it was 4 of 9. He was 4 of 9 from deep. It is his sixth game with three or more. And so John asked the plus last night he took three charges. And he was a pest. He is a total delight. A total delight. And John asked the question, he's the most fun Memphis Tiger player to watch since blank. And Jonah Jordan from the Daily Memphian said that if you say anyone other than Austin, sophomore year Austin Nichols, it's the wrong answer. I would beg to differ with my colleague at the Daily Memphian, Jonah Jordan. Sophomore year, Austin Nichols was great. But was he as much fun? No, he wasn't as much fun. There's two things that are
difficult for big men to be fun.
Well, I mean, Mark is fun, like in his
but
own
you
way.
You have to appreciate it. Like,
yes. Yeah, yeah, they're not like this is there's a reason that Steph.
Yes.
Take Anthony Davis and take Steph, right? Both great players.
Yes.
Who's more fun?
Steph.
Steph. It's not even close.
And I hate Steph.
And it's because he's a little guy. It's exactly why Alex Lomax is fun. It's because he's a little guy who hits crazy big shots.
Tyler Harris.
Mm-hmm. I keep saying that.
I know you.
Tyler Harris.
King of wishful thinking.
I don't know why. He's a tiny itty bitty guy who looks like he shouldn't be on there on the court to begin with, in a sense. And then he hits these ridiculous shots. He was asked if he has a range last night, and he said, not really. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no shot. He said, I know when it's really crazy. But after I hit two, I don't think there is anything that's really crazy, he says. He actually believes in the hot hand.
Oh, I'm 1,000%. Like, no, you can give me all the empirical evidence you want. I believe in the hot hand.
So, I think the answer is he is the most fun to watch since. I'll let y'all fill it out in your own head. In fact, here's what we're going to do.
DJ?
We will take a break and we will come back and John Martin will join us and I will tell you the correct answer. Tyler Harris is the most fun Memphis Tiger to watch since. Fill in the blank. We'll be back in a moment with Jeff Gawkins, show 92.9 FM ESPN.
Lady Vols hoping Avena Westbrook can build off a breakout game. This is the Vol Network Notebook, brought to you by your local Farmers Co-op. Co-op, proudly farming Big Orange Country. Lady Vols back in action Wednesday night hosting Stetson at Thompson Bowling Arena. Guard Avena Westbrook is coming off a career-high 29-point performance against Oklahoma State. Coach Holly Warlick said Westbrook's hard work this summer is paying off in production on the court.
Avena Westbrook just took over the game for us, and she has that capability. And she didn't take a bad shot. She took great looks. And as long as she takes those looks, I told her, you attack and you run your basketball team. And I thought she did a great job with that.
The ninth-ranked Lady Vols are 6-0 on the season. Tip-off time against Stetson Wednesday night is 7 o'clock in Thompson Bowling Arena. There are moments tied to fall in the Volunteer State that stay etched in the memory bank forever, like your first visit to see the Vols play, a fun night with friends at the county fair, and tagging along with Grandpa to get the cattle feed and other supplies from his local co-op. Many of those same grandchildren are now customers, relying on co-op's friendly, timely service, knowledgeable employees, and a full line of products for their own farm and home. It's neighbor helping neighbor. Always has been, always will be. Co-op, proudly farming Big Orange Country. Seventh-ranked Tennessee Volunteers continue their preparation for top-ranked Gonzaga Sunday in Phoenix. The Vols are keeping a watchful eye on Lamonte Turner's sore shoulder. Coach Rick Barnes held him out of Sunday's game, trying to get Turner back on the beam.
We decided to set him down a little bit, and then he tried to come back. But the way he played those last two games, he couldn't help us playing like that. And then we said, if it's your shoulders bothering you, just going to have to get it right.
Lamonte Turner was the sixth man of the year last season in the SEC, and a valuable weapon coming off the Tennessee bench. Tennessee and Gonzaga play in the first game Sunday in Phoenix. The second half of the doubleheader finds sixth-ranked Nevada against Grand Canyon. Tennessee and Gonzaga tip off at 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Reporting for the Vol Network, I'm Bob Kessler.
Dashing down the street with candles all aflame, by car, by horse, by feet, hooray for holiday games. Very small and bright, a scratchable delight, what fun it is to play and give holiday games tonight. Holiday games, holiday games, holiday instant games, oh what fun they are to play throughout the holidays.
Give the gift of holiday instant games only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
The big guy's not gonna like these.
Why not? They're slim, light, and easy to add on to gifts. He'll be over his sled when he sees them.
I don't know, Reggie. There's more to the Tennessee Lottery Holiday Instant Games than you think. We're giving away real chances to win. And guess who has to deliver all that loot?
I don't know. The lottery?
Oh, good point.
This winter, get to work on our newest bundle of holiday instant games. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, elf-approved fun. Please play responsibly.
This is what people are saying about James Gaddis Jewelers.
We love James Gaddis Jewelers. Everyone there is so friendly. My husband designed my engagement ring there, and we got his wedding ring there, too, because we like the people that work there so much. They treat us like we're the most important customers in the store. James Gaddis is our jeweler.
I purchased my wife's engagement ring and wedding ring at James Gaddis Jewelers and experienced nothing but really excellent service and value. They greeted me by name every time I went into the store and helped me find just the right ring I was looking for. She absolutely loves it, and I wouldn't go anywhere else but Gaddis Jewelers.
She'll never forget the year you gave her a gift from James Gaddis Jewelers. Hi, this is James Gaddis. This year, let us be your holiday destination and see why we've been voted the best jewelry store. Come shop with us at 4900 Poplar at Mendenhall and continue the family tradition at James Gaddis Jewelers.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
You hear the phrase a lot this time of year, Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. But holidays are not always happy, particularly for guys grappling with a divorce that they didn't choose. Suddenly, these husbands and dads are thrust onto battlefields where the fate of everything they care about will be decided. In the meantime, they must await the outcome in someone else's home this holiday season. These men need more than the help of a good lawyer. They need the hope and encouragement of a good friend. Chances are I've described someone that you count among your friends. Be sure to remember him this season.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Memphis attorneys. A partner men can count on. 901-362-3666. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. 6000 Poplar Avenue, Suite 225, Memphis, Tennessee, 38119.
Want to bet? Las Vegas is miles away. The all-new sportsbooks at Hollywood Casino Tunica and First Jackpot Casino are much closer. We're your 50-yard line behind home plate, center court ticket, to real odds, points, and over-unders. We've got all the action, the largest video screens, and the best prop bets in town. So come place your bets at the sportsbooks at Hollywood Casino Tunica and First Jackpot Casino. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
Outdoors Inc. is a family-owned and operated business offering Memphians lifetime quality and 100% customer satisfaction for 45 years. With the holidays upon us, it's time to head to Outdoors Inc. for everything you need. 2019 Cannondale bicycles are in stock. New Patagonia, new North Face, new Arc'teryx. During the holidays, many of the top national brands are on sale. Do like I do, shop local. Outdoors Inc. is located in East Memphis on Germantown Parkway and Poplar Avenue, and in Midtown on Union Avenue. Stop by one of their conveniently located stores or shop online at OutdoorsInc.com.
You can get moving with today's perks deal. Get $200 towards exact price moving services for only $100 from Big League Movers. Get your deal today at GetMyPerks.com.
Welcome back.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, 92.9 ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Garkin Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
See the girls in the club, they getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all wanna smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this out for me. And if I ever see them,
all right, so here's the thing. It doesn't matter what your budget is. The only thing that matters is that what you put under the tree is gonna impress her and feel like something dazzling and special. Robert Irwin Jewelers can make that happen for you. So gift ideas. Love's Crossing. It's a new jewelry design. Gets its inspiration from your journey together. Intertwining diamonds set in gold or silver to represent the twists, turns, and curves of life. Starting at just $199. You want to get a 1-carat diamond stud earrings? $799. Maybe this is your getting engaged. Christmas sneers, perfect time to get engaged. Robert Irwin Jewelers has a perfect ring to help you make the perfect proposal. You can choose from their handcrafted engagement rings featuring bright, sparkling, centered diamonds. Round, oval, princess cut, whatever. Or you can design your own ring. They will help you with that. And honestly, they do it in a totally low-key, no-pressure kind of way. But speaking of budgets, there is a new choice in diamonds. You can get the dug-out-of-the-ground diamonds. They got them the biggest, brightest, most beautiful dug-out-of-the-ground diamonds at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They also have a new option. They are altar-created diamonds that are, people don't believe this, they are actually real diamonds. They are real diamonds. They are just created, not dug out of the ground. But in every way, you give them to a gemologist, that what I would call them, a gemologist, they would not be able to tell the difference. Because there is no difference. They are actual diamonds. This makes them environmentally friendly. If you're worried about a blood diamonds, there's nothing bloody about these diamonds. 100% conflict-free, environmentally friendly. And they cost 25 to 30% less than your dug-out-of-the-ground diamonds. My man John Martin, who's sitting with me here right now, said it's like the difference between an in vitro baby and a made the traditional way baby. The baby, it's still a baby. Right, John?
That's right.
Still a baby. Free finance available. 12 months deferred interest. Take up to 6 months. But go, just drop by and take a look. Go see him. 4 locally owned Robert Irwin Jewelers locations. Check them out online at rijewelers.com. As I said, joining me right now is John Martin. John, I want to say this. You have always been a Tyler Harris guy. More than Alex Lomax?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you used to talk about Tyler Harris. And I wouldn't say that Gary would mock you talking about the way you talked about Tyler Harris, but he would say, people are talking about Tyler Harris like he's Derrick Rose or something, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you? You've heard that, right?
Oh, yeah.
People are talking about Tyler Harris like he's
a 5'9 guard, how he's not going to come in and change the program.
He can't. He would not by himself change a program. He's whatever, but he's been unbelievable.
If Tyler Harris had gone to Baylor, this team would be 2-6 right now. They lose last night because he saved them last night. I mean, he got them some big buckets last night when South Dakota State had cut it to 7. He comes down and
every time they needed a big bucket, he's and here's the other thing. Well,
and they lose the Yale game for sure.
They for sure lose the Yale game.
So at best,
well, and honestly,
him,
and they wouldn't have been in the LSU game.
Correct.
Right? So there's a bunch of games they wouldn't have
without
been
him. They're at best 3-5, but at worst, very realistically, they could have lost last night because the guy goes off for 35 or whatever it ended up being. They would have been.
I don't know what he did. The Canisius game is the one I missed. And I don't know what he did in that game.
I don't know how.
But they would have lost Yale. You're exactly right. They probably would have lost last night. He's been unbelievable. The other thing about it is he is a dazzling shooter, obviously. Like, that's what makes him so much fun. But he's not the slightest bit. So, like, he sets up dudes. Like, he moves the ball. He sees the floor. And last night he took 3 charges.
Yep. No, I mean,
he's pesky.
He has been even better than I thought he would be, and I thought he'd be really good. And I'm being honest. Like, he's the leading scorer on this team. I predicted that, by the way. I will say that. I did predict that. I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
And that will hold up over the course of the season. I mean, Jeremiah Martin will probably get close, but just the way they're using Tyler right now, I just think I think that's going to be the way it is. He's been awesome, and he's just he's fun to watch with the ball in his hands. And
he is so much fun.
I know some people last night, you know, sent it as a submission to most fun to watch Tiger since.
I'm going to give the answer here.
Okay.
The answer is very clearly DJ Steffens. He is the most fun to watch since DJ Steffens because they each, listen, my man Jonah Jordan from the Daily Memphian said Austin Nichols, sophomore year Austin Nichols was awesome, but he wasn't as much fun.
Yeah, listen, I love Austin. I tell him he wasn't that much fun to watch.
He was fun to watch,
like,
too.
He was a really good player, but like
he was skilled. It's kind of good to watch. It's nice to watch a skilled big man, but he wasn't fun. The reason these guys are fun is because you can't quite believe it. This little itty-bitty dude bombing it in from practically half court, and DJ Steffens had his own thing that he did that you couldn't quite believe. How in the world is he 10 feet above the rim playing like that and playing that hard? And so for different reasons, isn't that correct? Now, I'm not actually saying that DJ's...
I agree.
I'm not saying that DJ's more fun.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that's the answer to that question.
DJ made remarkable and spectacular and gravity-defying
plays. Things that made
you
laugh out loud.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Let me see the highlight.
But with the ball in his hands, he was not fun to watch.
No.
He was fun to watch only because he could get really high in the air and he could
get really high in the air. So hard to block. But that doesn't mean they're not.
No, I agree. That answer is right. But if I framed it a different way, like if I said Tyler Harris is the most fun to watch Tiger basketball with the ball in his hands
But if you're saying,
and then the answer is different.
Yes, but if you're saying who's the most fun to watch dunking, like we're not trying to, we're taking the whole package and who's the most fun.
No, I agree. No, it's true.
And they're most
fun in different ways.
They're totally fun. It's the same way, only that you can't quite believe what you're watching. That's the way in that they are alike. They are totally not alike in a different way. And I agree, because he's fun with the ball in his hands, he's fun more often.
Yes. I mean, it's just undeniable. Right? And they use him a lot.
And he has the ball in his hands a lot. And he drove in for that layup, falling down layup, gets knocked down left hand. Like, that's fun. Seeing him scoot in between the big dudes in the lane and create things is fun. He's just, honestly, he's fun to look at. Like, he's just so little out there.
Calm down.
He's fun.
Reel it in a little bit.
He's fun.
I mean, he's just a teenager.
He also, by the way, he's also our man Saluki Blue. See these stats he's rolling out?
What's that?
He is the last freshman to have 4 20-plus games in their first 8. Okay? That's on Twitter. Saluki says the last freshman to have 4 20-plus point games in their first 8.
Uh-huh.
You have a guess?
First four games, first four of them scored
20 or more.
It wasn't Tyreek because Tyreek got off to a really slow start. I don't think it was Derrick Rose. It was one of those awesome players, though. It had to be. It wouldn't have been like
your man Jason Smith guessed Wani.
Yeah, that's who I would say.
And I think it was Wani. I haven't seen Saluki actually confirm that it was Wani.
Yeah.
But then he did this. He said four. Here are some freshmen who did not, in their first 8 games, have 4 20-plus points. Ready?
Yep.
D. Rose.
Yep.
And he was the kid who was going to come in and change a program. Tyreek Evans, as you point out. Darius Washington. Sean Banks. I don't know that he belongs in that category, but he was good. He was good right off the bat. Lorenzen Wright.
Okay.
David Vaughn.
Okay.
Penny Hardaway.
Yep.
Or Keith Lee.
That's impressive.
None of those dudes in their first 8 games.
Indeed, it was DeJuan, and Saluki
has confirmed.
Yes, he scored 18, 32, 26, 26, 21, 11, 25, and 26 in his first 8
so
games.
So 6 of the 8?
Yes.
Wani had 6 of the 8. So Penny Hardaway didn't do it. Keith Lee didn't do it. Derrick Rose didn't do it. And now Tyler Harris has done it. I think the world owes you an apology.
No, I mean, I don't want an apology. I just want you to enjoy the young man and his limitations be damned physically. It is amazing. Like I just wait for him to like miss a shot. I don't feel like he's capable. On the other side of that, I keep waiting for Alex to make one. And so that's the sort of balance of the planet.
It's funny how different they are. And what's interesting is, like, I do believe. Do you think Alex Lomax's going to be fine?
I mean, yeah, like, it just depends on how you define that. Like, what do you want him to be? Like, do you want him to be a scorer ever? Like, no, he's not going to be a scorer.
Didn't we have this argument that you was it on? Were we on the radio or off the radio when we said, I said, you said he's got to start hitting jumpers. And I said,
yeah, no, we were on the air.
And I said, he's not going to hit jumpers. Well, like, and you said, no, like now. And I said, no, in 2 years, he might hit jumpers.
There's a difference between saying he's going to become a scorer and saying he can hit a
He's not going to hit. He can't hit an open jumper. He cannot hit a jump shot.
You can develop a jump shot.
Not in a week.
Not he's never going to become a three-point shooter.
No, but
can he?
I think he
will. Just can get better over a career.
I agree. No, this was our argument. I was agreeing it can happen over career. You were saying it's got to happen by next month. He's not going to be he might be a marginally better. There will never be a time this year when he pulls up for a jump shot and you think that's a good idea.
Agree. Even if he's wide open.
If he's totally wide open. If he's 10 feet or more from the basket, you will never want him to shoot it.
It's the old adage is, you know, you're open for a reason.
You are open for a reason. Now, what he did last night was fine.
Sure.
Except for when he shot the jump shots.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But didn't you think he was significantly better last night? More in control?
Yeah,
he only had one turnover.
Yeah.
Last night he was what Penny says he is. He was effective defensively. He had one turnover. Like when they needed that one bucket, he penetrates, dishes to Isaiah Maurice inside. Yeah. That was nice. The little lob play, that was nice. Like, he did. I didn't find myself last night saying, why in the hell is he on the floor right now? Which I have said before in the end of games. And I didn't find myself saying that. Now, so I thought I saw improvement from him. You saw improvement from him?
Yeah, like, and you're going to see improvement from him. He's a freshman guard who's, you know, this is his first year of college basketball. So that's if you're not seeing improvement from him, that is a problem. You're seeing improvement from the entire team. You're seeing improvement from Isaiah Maurice, who was great on the interior last night. You're seeing continued progression from Tyler Harris, Rainier Thornton. I mean, he's a senior, but had a better line last night. So, you know, this team is, and that's kind of what I maintained, is that.
No, it's not what you maintained. You maintained you couldn't see them losing more than two games. I'm giving you credit for Tyler Harris, but what you maintained was they were going to be good right out of the gate.
Well, you know what? They should have beaten Charleston.
That's fine.
But they should have, and they would have only ended up with four losses in conference, it was not that far
they
off.
They didn't.
Do you agree that they're only going to finish with five losses in the non-conference?
I think the likelihood is five, which is a lot more, which is two more than three.
Right. So I was wrong on that one. But you know what? Again, Canisius, they should have won. Charleston, they should have won. And Texas Tech, really, when you boil it
11
down,
11-point lead?
They should have won.
Second half, 11-point lead?
Should have won.
I don't know if should have. That's who they are. There's a reason they aren't winning those games, though.
They're young, and by the time conference play rolls around, they will be better for it. And that's why they'll have, I don't know how much of a chance, but they'll be competitive in the conference. Like, they'll probably finish fourth, and maybe they'll finish third, you know?
What do you make of Jeremiah? Still 0-for-3 from 3, 22 points last night, though. And I thought, I really do think this is a matter of, like, Penny's lineups. First of all, they change all the time. And I'm not being critical when I say that. But they change all the time. Jeremiah, I really do think, is figuring out, like, what am I supposed to do? And I think last night he was efficient and he was good. He knows he's supposed to be the leader and the alpha dog. I'm supposed to take these guys under my wing.
Yeah.
But what that meant too often was just dribble, 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 force a shot.
Right.
And that's not what it's supposed to mean. And last night I thought he was very effective.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's what you want him to be, you know, and he's going to have nights like last night where, you know, he's efficient from the floor and he can lead you in scoring and pace you. And so he was probably going to be the AAC player of the year last year before he got hurt, you know. So, yeah, that's what you need from him. You've honestly needed that well before last night. So, yeah, it was a good time.
Antoine Jones?
Finally hit a three. I mean, I was kind of wondering with him, too. Penny clearly believes in him, though, because he gets a lot of run. He gets a lot of burn. So
what's interesting is Penny clearly, like, Penny was so blunt about him after the game because he was asked about him. And he said, yeah, he has physically the most upside maybe of any guard we have. But he just doesn't know he said on offense, he doesn't know the plays. On a defense, he doesn't know where to be. So I can't play him that much.
Uh-huh.
So I keep hoping it's going to take. I actually thought he played better than Penny's comments about him suggested after the game. Because Penny's comments about him after the game were like, the guy has no idea what he's doing, basically. And I hope it catches on because he's got no idea what he's doing. And it was interesting. Like, he just flat out said he doesn't know the plays. Sometimes he doesn't know where to be. And therefore, that's why I can't play him that much. He was remarkable. David Winship, do you believe he will ever be a contributor this year? Do you think? Because Penny talks like he will be.
I doubt it. I mean, Penny's never going to say a guy's not going to help. That's just not who he is publicly, you know. So no, I don't really see much of a role for David Winship. They got Tyler Harris for the shooting, you know. So. I'm not sure. I thought, you know, in the preseason when he shot the pill off the ball there at Memphis Madness that it'd be hard to keep him off the floor, but obviously they're finding a way to keep him off the floor.
Okay, and did you take it as a shot against your program when Penny Hardaway said that he was going to have special guests at the radio show, but it was not going to be Drake or Justin Timberlake?
No, I thought it was funny. I enjoyed it. I mean, I know... There are some of us who probably wish he would have said that before Memphis Madness.
He said it before the coach's show.
Yeah.
If he can say it before the coach's show, you can say it before Memphis Madness.
I agree. It would have been great had he, you know, for him to have said that before, you know, Memphis Madness actually took place, so it could have, you know, avoided the entire debacle. But no, I mean, we're everybody's fine. Everybody came out of that okay. And,
everybody did. And life is good.
You know what? They got James Wiseman. They got DJ Jeffries.
It's funny. James Wiseman did not. Evidently, the media did not keep the Memphis media did not keep him away. I had heard rumors that the Memphis media was going to keep James Wiseman away from. He was there last night. He was there last night. Moneybag Yo also there last night. And then people were wearing fedoras. I will say I don't understand this. They don't announce the promotions in advance.
I know. Well, they don't want to tell you. I mean, they want you to.
But don't the promotions draw people?
Well, I guess that's true. But I mean,
I like the look. I like the fedora look.
A fedora wouldn't draw me, but
I like the fedora look.
I like the fathead Penny one better. You know, that's the one you announced.
Oh, the fathead Penny one was so fantastic.
Yeah, they're doing much better though.
John, I always love having you on the show, and
thanks,
I appreciate
brother.
You coming on just now.
Yes, sir.
We got to take a break. Chris Harrington's going to join us at 10. Clippers tonight. It's the Jeff Calkins Show. Back in a moment. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Looking for a thoughtful, memorable gift idea? Give someone a gift card to one of my favorite Memphis restaurants, Bounty on Broad. Do that, and you give them not just a thing, but an unforgettable experience. Bounty on Broad is a beautiful restaurant that makes you feel warm just to walk in the place. And the food is farm to table and exquisitely prepared. I've always loved the cornbread crusted fried oysters. It's one of my favorite dishes in all of Memphis. But I'm also crazy about the braised pork shank, the Moroccan spiced lamb ribs, the crispy Brussels sprouts, the creative drinks, the welcoming bar, and the sumptuous Saturday and Sunday brunch. The point is, give a gift certificate to Bounty on Broad and you're guaranteed to make someone happy this holiday season. Bounty also does private parties and has a special seasonal holiday menu. So give them a call at 410-8131. That's 410-8131. Or just stop by at 2519 Broad Avenue. Make someone's holidays merrier with a gift of Bounty on Broad.
Hey, Tennessee. GEICO presents Need to Know Information because you have to draw the line between what you need to know and what you don't.
After a scary movie... I have to watch cartoons so I don't have nightmares.
See, didn't need to know that. But when it comes to insurance, the more you know, the better. Like knowing GEICO is the second largest auto insurer in the country. Plus, they've been around for over 75 years and have a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
I have to use a calculator on my first grader's math homework.
Again, not really needed. But knowing GEICO offers more than just car insurance is important, like motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. And the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you insure your home, apartment, and condo.
I practice taking my glasses off in the mirror because I think it makes me look cool.
And not needed. But you should know, GEICO has local agents in your area that could help you find even more ways to save. And GEICO offers emergency roadside service. Switching insurance is an important decision. You can never know too much about it. So, Tennessee, contact GEICO online, over the phone, or at your local office for all the information you really need.
When the deadline clock is ticking, an unreliable network can cost your business money. That's why you need Comcast Business. Our gig speed network is fast, and we go beyond fast with the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup, which means that even if something like construction accidentally knocks out the power, you can still upload that big presentation, email important clients, invoice customers, and not take a hit to your company's bottom line. For a limited time, switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond other providers. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offer ends 12/31/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours and requires Comcast Business Internet.
My name is Jessica Van Eyck, and I have been a Fraze customer for 8 years. I had a fire break out in the condo behind me. The system went off, and that alerted me. Not thinking, I ran out of the house without my phone, but thankfully, my security system had already called the fire station. I would recommend Fraze Protection because they ultimately saved my life. Without the security system, I wouldn't be here today.
For smart home security, choose local and call Fraze Protection today.
Tennessee License 0268.
Tis the season, and Dinstals is the place for all your holiday treats. From Christmas tree pretzels to cashew crunch, Dinstals has it all. Trim your tree and fill your stockings with Dinstals chocolate Santas, fudge suckers, and peppermint bark. Don't forget the chocolate pecan fudge, selected as number one fudge in America. Stop by your favorite Dinstals today. Laurelwood, Germantown, Pleasant View, and the new store in Collierville. Dinstals, made in Memphis and enjoyed by the whole world.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, and 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You're not completely sure that girl is real. So you know you're singing sweet Carolee. Won't you confuse me like you're supposed to? And I've said what to do about you. Sweet Liberty. Don't make me sad, I'll admit you, Carolee.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Chris Harrington's going to join us just in a little bit. A couple of college football things I wanted to touch on very quickly. One is the Memphis coaching situation. The jobs are starting to fill up. Don't we believe that? What is left? If you were worried about Mike Norvell leaving.
Texas Tech has been filled. Maryland has now been filled.
Louisville has been filled. The one that's out there that has not been filled, I don't believe, is Georgia Tech.
Correct.
Georgia Tech has not been filled, and they have decided they don't want to run the Paul Johnson offense.
Correct.
They're going away from
that. Modernize.
Ken Wisenhunt, I believe, interviewed or was interviewed for that job, and I had read various places.
Yes, he interviewed, I believe, over the weekend.
I had read somewhere that he had so many hours to take it or not take it. I don't know whether that was true. It was from some, you know, whatever, Yellow Jacket Fever site or whatever, you know. So that would be the one at this point that would still, obviously because Ohio State went the way it went, that would be the one that might still concern me a little bit if you are a Memphis fan. But honestly, the fact that assistants, tight ends coach, just left to be the offensive coordinator at Tulane.
Will Hall.
Doesn't that suggest that the staff isn't going anywhere?
To me, that does 100%. I always thought next year was a bigger risk for Mike than this year of leaving.
Well, because if you're Will Hall.
Correct.
And let's say Mike was getting the Georgia Tech job.
Sure.
Would you rather be the tight ends coach at Georgia Tech or the offensive coordinator at Tulane?
I personally would rather, I'd rather I'd rather get some of that Power Five money.
Plus, you're probably not going to win at Tulane. And, like, offensive coordinator is a great job.
Oh, for sure.
If you can, because if you're then poised to get a head coaching job, right?
Correct.
If you are on a good team, it's going to put up points.
If you have a quarterback.
And if you have a quarterback. Anyway, so that's the one I think that might, that's still open, that you might say, eh. But then the one that was filled was Maryland with Mike Locksley, of course, from Alabama.
Correct.
On the staff at Alabama. This is the, how many years in a row have they lost someone in the course of playing for a national championship, Alabama?
So.
Brian Daboll?
Dabo, yes, he was going to back to the NFL. The year before, you had
Kiffin.
The year before.
Was Kirby?
Kirby. The year before that was Kirby.
And they told Kiffin to go away, right?
Yes, because remember they had that game against Washington where the offense was very stagnant, and they said, okay, you're distracted. And then they...
It is amazing because people say, isn't it too bad that Memphis always loses staff, you know, at the end of every year when you're not a Power Five? Saban always loses staff. He loses it before the championship game.
It's the biggest reason why when you asked yesterday if I liked the idea of Ohio State just keeping it rolling with Ryan Day. I'm not saying whether or not Ryan Day is going to be a star. I don't really have enough of an opinion. So far, the early returns on him were very good this year.
Right.
But the star is Urban Meyer.
Right. Okay. Then in the meantime, one of the jobs that's filled is Maryland.
Indeed.
That we just talked about. I mean, but one of the, you look at it from the Bama perspective, you look at the Maryland perspective. I will say.
If you're Bama, I'm not all that concerned because I think you have a very, very, very good offensive coordinator waiting in the wings right behind him. A guy that's proven and a guy that's proven very much in Dan Enos. And I think Enos is very, very good. I watched him lead the SEC in scoring with
Arkansas first year. He was at Arkansas. Yeah. And in fact, you look at Locksley, it's kind of a curious choice by Maryland because he has been a head coach before.
Correct. Now, he does have one of the worst jobs in all of college football in New Mexico.
But he didn't make it a better one.
He did not.
What was Mike Locksley's record at New Mexico?
He was a very, very consistent 2-26.
Over how many years?
2.5. He was fired in the middle of his third year.
Over 2.5 years?
Yes.
He was 2-26.
Yes.
And then wasn't he also the interim coach at Maryland?
Correct. After Randy Edsall got fired midway through the season in 2015, he was remarkably consistent yet again, going 1-5.
That, you know what this speaks to the power of?
Nick Saban and the coaching tree. It's
like you can be literally maybe have the worst record of any coach in America, go coach for Nick Saban, and then get the Maryland job.
What's really fascinating to me is we were starting to get away from that. The whole idea. Well, you know, the idea was, because you see this in the NFL all the time with, got to get a Belichick guy, got to get a Belichick guy, got to get a Belichick.
The Belichick guys didn't work, but the Andy Reid guys have worked.
Exactly. My point being, it started to not work with Saban guys. And then Kirby Smart is clearly working at Georgia.
Right, I see.
And everyone goes, and we got to get back on the train. After people were getting away from, because it kind of hurt Kirby for a while. Remember, it took Kirby forever to get a job.
It took him forever to get a job.
And it kind of hurt Kirby for a while.
Because who had gone and failed? Was Muschamp a Saban guy? Or
yes.
Okay. I know he'd worked for Saban, but he'd been other places too.
Correct. Dooley, Muschamp.
They both. Right.
The complicated one is what do you do with Jimbo Fisher? Because Jimbo Fisher was at LSU, and essentially he just kept him. But here are the guys. Bobby Williams, Mike Haywood is part of his coaching tree, McElwain, Major Applewhite for a season. I mean, to me, the ones that worked the best were Mark D'Antonio, because he went and did his own thing at Cincinnati, and then of course got the Michigan State job. You can make a case for... That's kind of the issue. It's like, what do you do with, like, Jimbo Fisher? Do you count Fisher as one of his guys?
Yeah, that's interesting. You never know. The problem with this, it's hard to figure out what's them, what's
for sure,
what's them and what's not. Okay. If you are noticing cracks on the walls of your home, maybe you're putting up your Christmas tree, you're noticing cracks on the walls of your home, maybe you notice that your Christmas tree is just leaning over a little bit because the floor is sinking or sloping. You could have a foundation problem. If you have a foundation problem, you could have a serious problem. Get in touch with the Dreamers Group. It's a local company serving Memphis and the Mid-South for more than a decade, offers complete and permanent solutions at an affordable price. They handle foundation repair, crawl space repair, concrete leveling, and water and basement waterproofing. Not just basement waterproofing. If you got water coming into your crawl space, if you got water coming into your garage, if you got water coming in the basement, give Redeemers Group a call. 541-8765. 541-8765. They will send an expert to your house. This will not cost you a single penny. They will analyze the situation. They will give you their expert analysis, and you can decide if you want to proceed. If you want to proceed, mention my name, Jeff Calkins. You get an additional $50 off the repair project. If you do not want to proceed, it will not cost you a single penny. This is not a deal where they say it's going to cost $125 to be applied to the cost of the repair. Nope. You can bring out one of the experts from Redeemers Group at no cost.